Good afternoon, 4:30 and 59 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Ashley Chapman.
I want to include all 100 members because I've been in the minority for 20 years. Just because you're in the minority doesn't mean you don't have good ideas.
Republican State Representative Jeff Hoover is promising to be fair to everyone when he becomes the next speaker of the Kentucky House of Representatives.
A Portsmouth couple is charged with the murder of a 6-year-old boy.
And wildfires continue to burn in eastern Kentucky.
In sports, the Bengals take on the Giants in Monday Night Football.
Bud Luke has the stocks.
Mostly clear tonight with areas of smoke, lows in the upper 30s. The complete forecast after this news.
A Portsmouth couple is charged with murder in the death of a 6-year-old boy. WSAZ is reporting that the charges were brought against 25-year-old Margarita White and her 33-year-old boyfriend Douglas Hunt. They're accused in the August death of White's son T.J. Caudill. Police allege that the child was abused and malnourished and died in a motel. The victim's body was found at a home on Maybert Road Sunday evening. An investigation into the couple began when White failed to register her son for school this fall. The youngster was officially declared missing on November 6th.
There are currently only 3 or 4 active fires burning on the Daniel Boone National Forest in eastern Kentucky. That word comes from U.S. Forest spokesman Tim Ealing, who says the biggest blaze remains the so-called Woodland Fire in the Red River Gorge, which has destroyed 300 acres so far.
It does have a line around it. Containment has been achieved. It hasn't been called controlled yet. That's kind of the terminology we use. And the reason is we're still getting a lot of leaf fall coming down, and we have to go back around those lines and clear off the leaves that have fallen, or there is the potential where it could reburn and escape the containment lines.
According to Ealing, the other fires are in the Red Bird District of the forest. There has been 29 fires this fall in the Daniel Boone. They've combined to ruin over 1,000 acres of woodland. Ealing says a burn ban remains in place for the entire forest.
The author of a best-selling book on the subject says water is emerging as an issue that could jeopardize world stability. Seth Siegel made the comment Sunday on KET's One-to-One with Bill Goodman. Siegel wrote Let There Be Water, which was published in 2015. He says we're entering a period of global water scarcity.
Droughts come, droughts go, but this is something different than we've ever seen before. And that we need to start waking up and start thinking about what we're going to do to address a future which is going to be much more water scarce. We're going to need more food because we're going to have more people. We're going to have possibility of climate change affecting the way irrigation water is received, surface water evaporating away.
However, Siegel says the situation is no reason to panic. He says Israel, which is largely a desert nation, is showing how conservation efforts and the development of new technologies can help ensure safe drinking water supplies everywhere.
This is the last day for those who want to be Moorhead State University's next president to get their paperwork filed. The school needs to replace Dr. Wayne Andrews, who retires at the end of next June. MSU's Presidential Search and Advisory Committee has been working with a search firm to identify potential candidates for the job. Board of Regents member Wayne Martin heads the committee and says his group will meet in early December to begin going through the list of applicants with a fine-tooth comb.
We've got some criteria that these 7 public forums helped us establish in what are the opportunities and challenges that are in front of the next president. And so we've established some characteristics we think and experiences maybe that might be needed to meet those opportunities and challenges. So that's what we'll be doing.
Martin says the field will be narrowed down to 8 to 12 candidates, with the first cut from that group receiving off-campus interviews in January. The finalists from there will be invited to campus for a second round of interviews. Martin expects MSU's president to be named by March 31st and start work on July 1st.
Maysville Community and Technical College has received a federal grant of $2.2 million to increase student retention and graduation rates. According to the Maysville Ledger Independent, the money from the U.S. Department of Education can also be used to strengthen academic quality and better serve low-income students. MCTC Provost Justin Pate says the grant will enable the school to offer more robust services and help students learn skills that add value to their lives. The funds will be distributed over a five-year period.
Kentucky Farm Bureau President Mark Haney is urging the state legislature to continue providing 22.2% of the state's gas tax revenues for rural roads. He says the money is critically important for farmers to get their produce to consumers and lure motorists to their ever-increasing retail operations.
Not only are we trying to get our crops to market, but we actually have retail business at the farm level all across Kentucky. And we have to have those roads. We do everything that we can to attract those folks into rural Kentucky. So the road fund becomes extremely important to us.
Haney says good roads are vital to the economy of rural Kentucky.
A $400,000 effort to replace the lights on Maysville's Simon Kenton Bridge began today. Mayor David Cartmell says the bridge's famous necklace was turned off 2 years ago after inspectors discovered safety hazards.
The cover on the wiring degraded in such a manner that it was too dangerous for the DOT workers to be up there servicing the lights. So they decided to go ahead and replace everything. And I mean, of course, it's going to cost us a little more, but at least we have something that's safe for people to be up on the bridge with.
The new lights on the Simon Kenton Bridge should be installed just before Christmas. The city is planning a special ceremony to commemorate the event. Maysville will have to pay $20,000 annually to maintain the new system. The structure will be closed on weekdays from 9 a.m. until 3 p.m. as the work continues.
AEP Ohio plans to spend nearly $200 million to improve its electric grid in southern Ohio. Here's MSPR's Kyle Blankenbuehler.
American Electric Power says it's investing $169 million to improve its infrastructure in Aberdeen, Portsmouth, Ironton, Oak Hill, Piketon, Hillsboro, and approximately 35 other communities in southern Ohio. AEP says it will replace overhead wires, poles, and substations, convert lines to higher voltage, install new lines, and improve service to 120,000 customers in 14 counties. A press release from the company indicates the upgrades will meet consumer demands to power additional electronic devices and support economic development efforts. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio News, I'm Kyle Blankenbuehler.
The abandonment of animals such as horses can be a difficult legal issue for local governments and an expensive one as well. So says State Representative James Kay of Woodford County. The Democrat serves on a House subcommittee on rural issues. He says that was apparent recently when the panel met with Mercer County Prosecutor Ted Dean to discuss Dean's pursuit of charges against owners accused of abandoning more than 40 horses.
Some of the discussions centered around forfeiture laws and forfeiture aspects, and also the inability to extradite these individuals from out of state because they weren't able to be charged with felonies. Prosecutor Dean emphasized if it had not been for the horse industry pitching in, Mercer County would not have been able to deal with the insurmountable cost and all the issues related to that.
Kay says it can cost up to $50,000 a year to feed and care for a horse.
Boyd County residents appear to be breathing easier about the Big Run landfill. MSPR's Courtney Howell reports.
According to the Ashland Independent, the company that runs the landfill Enviro Solutions Holding Incorporated says there have been only 26 odor complaints involving the facility since April. That compares to 604 at this time last year. The company signed a 36-point agreement with the citizens of the Boyd County Environmental Coalition and the Boyd Fiscal Court in order in 2015. As part of the deal, the landfill said it would no longer accept trash from around the U.S. as a way of reducing its odor problem. It also capped that part of the landfill where the out-of-state garbage was located. While the news is good for those living near the Big Run landfill, there is one down note. The changes cost 60 employees their jobs. Reporting for MSPR News, I'm Courtney Howe.
The city of Maysville has voted to discontinue its recycling program. City commissioners say only 10% of the city's residents are participating in the door-to-door recyclable collection program, which was launched last November. City manager Matt Wallingford says it's a bad financial decision to keep it afloat, as it costs about $18,000 annually to operate.
The city is losing money on the service. The only way we could make it feasible from a fiscal standpoint is to charge for the recycling. And even if we had 50% of the households recycling, there's still a pretty good chance if that recycling center is not open, those materials are still going into the landfills.
Wallingford says the program also diverts resources from other areas that have proven more beneficial. City commissioners voted last Thursday to officially suspend it on December 31st.
The state lawmaker tapped to become the next speaker of the Kentucky House of Representatives is promising to be fair to all, including those on the other side of the aisle. Republican Jeff Hoover of Jamestown has been the chamber's minority leader for more than a decade. Speaking at a news conference in Frankfort last week, he says that was good training for the top leadership post.
I would like to think that during the 16 years that I've been floor leader, I have worked across the aisle. The majority party at that time could rely upon me as someone who would work with them, who would tell them the truth, who would be honest and straight with them on the issues. And I want to continue to do that.
Hoover says Republicans won't gloat about their new supermajority in the House. He says good ideas come from members of both parties. The GOP now holds a 64-36 advantage in the House of Representatives.
The usual ways of identifying people in need of health or mental health services don't work very well with veterans. That's what an outreach coordinator for the Brain Injury Alliance of Kentucky told a legislative panel in Frankfort last week. Zach Skosky is a Marine Corps veteran who suffered a traumatic brain injury in 2010. He says many vets simply refuse to acknowledge they have a problem when they see flyers or pamphlets about TBI. Others, he explains, don't realize it. Skosky says it often takes interpersonal communication.
I have personally been in contact with over 140 Kentucky veterans this year with traumatic brain injuries or gotten them in contact with the people to be able to get evaluated for traumatic brain injuries due to some of the issues or tragic accidents that they have had.
Skosky testified before the General Assembly's Interim Joint Committee on Veterans and Military Affairs. State lawmakers last year approved a grant for the Brain Injury Alliance to conduct an outreach effort for veterans who may be suffering from TBI.
St. Clair Regional Medical Center and Moorhead's Oncology Services Department will be holding a fundraiser on November 15th to help raise awareness about lung cancer. SCR's Cancer Care Service line leader, Vicki Fairchild, says the disease is a big problem in Kentucky.
There is more here, even though other places has maybe the same rate of smokers, that there must be other factors involved too, because we compare ourselves maybe with other areas, and yet we still have the highest rate of lung cancer.
For $5 on November 15th, patrons will be able to enjoy lunch and a dessert. A bake sale will also be held. All proceeds of the fundraiser go towards supporting regional cancer patients. Oncology nurses will also be on hand to answer questions about lung and other forms of cancer. Taking a look at your weather forecast for the listening area around MSPR, including the counties of Rowan, Morgan, and Carter. Tonight mostly clear, lows in the upper 30s. Tuesday partly sunny with highs in the upper 50s. Tuesday night will be partly cloudy with lows in the lower 40s. Wednesday will be sunny with highs in the lower 60s. Thursday will be sunny with highs in the upper 60s. And Friday will be sunny with highs in the lower 70s. Taking a look at your temperatures, it's currently 58 degrees in Ashland, 59 in Flemingsburg, 58 degrees in Inez, Lexington and Winchester are both sitting at 60 degrees, and it is currently 59 degrees right here on the campus of Morehead State University.
445, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio, and it is good to have your company on this Monday afternoon. On our feature segment, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says he's pro-coal but is blocking a bill to save the benefits for thousands of miners and their families. Dan Hyman has the story.
A bill to save the pensions and health care of thousands of retired miners and dependents is stuck in the Senate, in spite of pro-coal election rhetoric by Senate leaders. Senators Joe Manchin and Shelley Moore Capito are backing the Miners Protection Act, but Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell of Kentucky has kept the bill from coming to the floor, although it's likely to pass. Gail Heron is the widow of a longtime Peabody miner and is at risk of losing part of her health care. She says politicians such as Hillary Clinton are accused of saying one thing in public and doing something else in private.
That describes McConnell completely. He has the perception he wants the public and the voter to see. And then in private, I think he has a different agenda.
McConnell says he is protecting coal miners by fighting environmental regulations. The Miners Protection Act would transfer money from the Abandoned Mine Lands Fund to a fund administered by the United Mine Workers, which covers the retirement obligations of mine companies that have declared bankruptcy. About 25,000 miners and their dependents have been told they will lose pension or health care benefits at the end of the year. Ricky Colson says his black lung is advanced enough to make it hard for him to climb stairs or carry anything. He has Medicare, but would lose his wife's insurance and the second policy that covers him for what Medicare doesn't.
I'll have to come up with insurance for my wife, then I'll have to come up with another one for me to cover the 20%. It does frustrate you. I just have to trust in the Lord.
A longtime Democrat, Heron says her frustration with the government has gotten so bad she'll vote for Donald Trump, although she doesn't think much of him either. She says she's likely to lose the coverage that pays for her medicines, which can be more than $1,000 for 3 months. Heron says it hurts to realize her husband kept going back underground because of promises now being broken.
I wanted him to get out of the industry, but he kept saying, no, I'll have the pension, we'll have medical coverage. And I think about all that, and I think, oh my God, it wasn't true.
The bill has passed the Senate Finance Committee, and supporters hope it will come to the floor after the election. For the West Virginia News Service, I'm Dan Hyman.
It is 4:47. You are tuned to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. National and international news from All Things Considered is coming up at 5 o'clock this afternoon right here on MSPR. And Sean has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from The Bakery on Main next to Pasquale's on East Main Street in Moorhead. The Bakery on Main prepares made-from-scratch breads, cakes, pies, tarts, and cookies. Glazed, cream and fruit-filled donuts made fresh Monday, Friday, and Saturday. Catering for weddings, birthdays, bridal, and baby showers. Open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Orders by phone at 606-783-0101 and online at thebakeryonmain.com.
Monday Night Rumble in the Concrete Jungle. Good afternoon. This is MSPR's Sports Report. I'm Sean Delaney. It will be an interesting matchup tonight in Monday Night Football as the Cincinnati Bengals visit the New York Giants. Kenzie Thompson reports.
It could be an aerial show tonight in the New Jersey Meadowlands. The Bengals and Giants each rank in the NFL's top 10 for passing offense, with both of them averaging more than 270 yards a game. New York also ranks dead last in the league in rushing. At 3-4-1, Cincinnati is third in the AFC North, just a game and a half behind division-leading Baltimore. The 5-3 Giants can grab sole possession of second place in the NFC East with a victory tonight against the Bengals. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Kenzie Thompson.
In another big blow for Chicago, the NFL has suspended Bears receiver Alshon Jeffrey 4 games without pay for violating the league's policy on performance-enhancing substances. The suspension announced today takes effect immediately. It comes on the heels of a brutal 36-10 loss at Tampa Bay that left the Bears with a 2-7 record. Jeffrey will be eligible to return on December 12th and play against the Green Bay Packers 6 days later. He leads the team with 630 yards receiving and is second with 40 catches. College basketball's first regular season AP Top 25 poll is out. With more, here's Ashley Chapman.
Duke remains at the top of the list, with the University of Kentucky Wildcats following closely behind at number 2. The rest of the top 10 in descending order include Villanova at number 3, then Oregon, North Carolina, Indiana, Kansas, Virginia, Wisconsin, and Arizona at number 10. Xavier, who were ranked 7th in the AP preseason poll, were knocked down to 11 after edging by Lehigh. The Louisville Cardinals are ranked at 12. West Virginia is ranked at 19th, while newcomer Cincinnati is in at 24. For Morehead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Ashley Chapman.
Louisville's 12th-ranked basketball team will try to move to 2-0 this evening at 7:05 when the Cardinals entertain William & Mary. They'll be coming off a 78-47 Friday win over Evansville. Coach Rick Pitino was especially pleased with the work of junior forward Jalen Johnson in that contest.
He's getting what he deserves. He's worked so hard on his game this summer. He worked so hard on his body. And, you know, he has 19 points, 14 rebounds, 3 blocks. And he really did a great job. I'm so proud of him.
William & Mary will enter the Yum Center tonight on the heels of a 96-44 rout of Bridgewater. The Morehead State basketball team is 2-0 after running past Lipscomb 89-75 Sunday at Johnson Arena. MSU led by as many as 22 points in the second half, but saw the Bisons rally to get within 7, rather. Coach Sean Woods says the Eagles made plays when they had to.
Well, our guys kept our composure, and, you know, he was trying to change defenses as we were coming down the court, and he did a good job of it. But our guys just, you know, we got to believe in each other and trust in each other. When that middle was open, hit that guy and just trust in angles and getting the ball where it needs to be. And I thought we did that when we needed to.
The Eagles, who shot 51% from the field, were paced last night by DeJuan Marrero's 17 points and 16 rebounds. They play at Marshall Wednesday night. After going 1-1 over the weekend and hosting the Donna Murphy Classic, the Morehead State women's basketball team jumps right back into action tomorrow. The Eagles will be at Johnson Arena for an afternoon school day contest against NAIA member Alice Lloyd. Even though his team will be heavy favorites, MSU coach Greg Todd maintains you still have to play the game.
You do, and John Mills, a good friend of mine at Alice Lloyd. He coached at Berea College, the guys. He does a nice job. Obviously, yes, we have Division I program should have more talent, hopefully it'll be a fun game. We'd love to get some people out.
Tuesday's game at Johnson Arena tips off at high noon. Morehead State football coach Rob Tenier says, bottom line, the Eagles didn't make the plays they needed to during Saturday's 27-21 home loss to Campbell. Tenier says the Eagles also killed themselves by committing 4 turnovers and by allowing the Camels to rush for 217 yards against them.
Still struggling to stop the run a little bit, which is disappointing at this point in the season, but it is what it is. And you got to go out and you got to play the games, you got to execute, and it's a tough loss today. Tough loss.
At 3-7 for the year, the football Eagles close out 2016 next weekend at Davidson. The Kentucky football team is conducting an autopsy of its 49-36 weekend loss at Tennessee. The Wildcats fell despite rushing for 443 yards. Running back Boom Williams says the frustrating part was that UK had to settle for 3 field goals in situations where it needed touchdowns.
Well, you know that could have scored more touchdowns and be able to put us in a better situation. So it's very frustrating. So we just got to be able to go look at the film and be able to see the things that caused us to be able to score 3 points instead of 6.
Williams rushed for 127 yards for 5-5 Kentucky, which returns home Saturday to host Austin Peay. That's it for sports. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Sean Delaney reporting.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Women's basketball hosts Alice Lloyd College tomorrow at noon and Miami University Saturday at noon. Tickets and information available from the Morehead State Athletic Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio.
U.S. stocks closed mixed after the Dow Industrials hit a new all-time high as investors evaluated the prospects of economic growth following Donald Trump's presidential election win. And at the close, the Dow Industrials did finish with another closing high, all-time high, I should say, of 18,868.69, the blue-chip average up 21.03 on the day. The S&P 500 was down a quarter of a point at 2164.2, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 18.72 at 5218.40. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 15 to 14 in favor of winning stocks over losers. Tech stocks in particular dragging the S&P and NASDAQ down today. The Russell 2000, and this is, of course, very important to note, and the Russell 2000, which is composed of small-cap stocks, hit its first record high since June 2015, and according to many analysts, this could be a bullish sign for the market as a whole. The U.S. dollar was strong again, trading 1% higher, with the dollar index itself closing at 100.07, and in oil markets, U.S. crude prices fell to settle at $43.32 a barrel, down 9 cents as oversupply concerns loomed over the market. Overseas European stocks mostly rose, with the Pan-European Stock 600 index rising about 0.2%. In Asia, stocks closed mostly lower, with the Korean Kospi falling about 0.5% and the Nikkei 225 surging 1.71% as Japan bucked the trend of most Asian markets, and of course Japan being helped out by the weakness of the yen against the dollar. Gold futures for December delivery fell $4.80, finishing at $1,219.50 an ounce. And among Dow Industrial stocks, your best performers were United Health Group and J.P. Morgan, and your worst performers were Visa and Apple. And in the S&P 500, your best performers were Harman International and Southwestern Energy, and the worst performers were Transdem and also PVH Corporation. Turning now to individual stocks, it was Ashland Global up 70 cents at 108.24, CSX up 20 cents at 34.78, AEP down $1.26 at 58.73, Marathon Petroleum unchanged at 43.60, AK Steel up 77 cents at 8.27, and Community Trust Bank was up 55 cents to finish at 42. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR provided by Downtown Moorhead Incorporated and Moorhead's annual hometown holiday weekend, December 1st through 3rd. The Moorhead Rowan County Christmas Dinner is Thursday, December 1st at the Carl Perkins Community Center. Events continue on Saturday, December 3rd with the Appalachian Holiday Arts and Crafts Fair at Moorhead State University. Hometown Holiday on Main Street and the Cave Run Symphony Orchestra Concert at the Moorhead Conference Center. More events and information on Facebook under Downtown Moorhead.
Taking a look at your weather forecast for the listening area, including the counties of Rowan, Bath, and Menifee. Tonight, mostly clear, lows in the upper 30s. Tuesday, partly sunny, highs in the upper 50s. Tuesday night will be partly cloudy with lows in the lower 40s. Wednesday will be sunny, highs in the lower 60s. Wednesday night, mostly clear with lows in the upper 30s. Thursday will be sunny with highs in the upper 60s. Thursday night, mostly clear, lows in the upper 40s. Friday will be sunny with highs in the lower 70s. And Friday night, partly cloudy with a 30% chance of showers as the rain rolls in and the lows will be in the upper 40s. Temperatures for the surrounding area, it's currently 58 degrees in Ashland, 59 in Flemingsburg. Inez is sitting at 58 degrees. It's 60 degrees in both Lexington and Winchester. And it is currently 59 degrees right here on the campus of Moorhead State University.
And that's it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Ellen Barnett, Samantha Morrill, Courtney Howe, Sean Delaney, Jacob Lindberg, Xavier Atkins, Kenzie Thompson, Kyle Blankenbuehler, and Victoria Agee. From the West Virginia News Service, Dan Hyman. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Ashley Chapman and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Morehead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.